This is Sydney. This is Mardi Gras.
Happy Mardi Gras!
Hello!
Hello!
At school, I was the fag and the gay boy and the Nelly. At swimming, I was good. So even though I was still a fag and a gay boy and a Nelly, everyone kind of wanted to be good like me.
And he said to me, take off the sash and you can have communion. I was, in effect, being asked to choose the church of my birth and my gay child. And I would always choose my child.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Poland prepares for partner equality. An Italian priest is purged for performing lesbian and gay unions. Valentine vows are exchanged at a Mexico City demonstration. And Sydney launches Mardi Gras with lightning and liberation. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 16th, 2002. Poland's government chose Valentine's Day to announce completion of its draft bill to grant gay and lesbian domestic partners the same legal standing as unmarried heterosexual cohabitants. A spokesperson for the ruling SLD, the Democratic Left Alliance Party, said the measure was designed to meet the equality standards of the European Union. Poland will hold a referendum on joining the EU in 2003, and enforcement of the Domestic Partners Bill would begin only after that vote if the proposal succeeds. The government's bill is remarkable because some 90% of Poles are Roman Catholics. A spokesperson for the Polish Episcopate denounced the bill as an attack against the institutions of marriage and the family.
A Roman Catholic priest in Italy was defrocked and excommunicated on Valentine's Day for celebrating gay and lesbian unions. Father Franco Barbero of the northern city of Pinerolo has officiated at some 35 church ceremonies for same-gender couples and had continued to do so after formal orders to stop. In fact, Barbero's bishop said the church had spent 30 years trying to reform the 63-year-old priest on a range of issues, but that his position in terms of morality and in the celebration of pseudo-marriages among homosexual people are, basically, in serious contrast to the doctrine of the Catholic Church. According to Agence France-Presse, Barbero has written 13 books on homosexuality and contributed to the Italian website www.gay.it. Barbero's last act as a priest was to bless a lesbian couple, saying, "These lesbian women, our sisters, ask the Christian Church to change its doctrine."
Finland's state church this week decided against blessing same-gender couples, despite the nation's enactment in September of registered domestic partnerships for them that carry most of the civil benefits of marriage. At a conference of the Finnish Evangelical Lutheran Church, to which 85% of Finns belong, Archbishop Jukka Parma said, "We should avoid any kind of action that could be interpreted in such a way that the church or a representative of the church is blessing such a relationship." Parma added that priests will be free to visit the homes of gay and lesbian couples and pray with them there. He said the church will not be publishing an official position on registered partnerships, which is viewed as an indication that the church and its clergy are divided on the issue.
In Mexico City, more than 100 gay and lesbian couples exchanged vows in a Valentine's Day demonstration seeking partnership rights. A bill to create so-called unions of cohabitation will be reintroduced in the city legislature later this year. Rights conferred by the bill would include insurance and inheritance.
A gay man's struggle to inherit the bulk of his late partner's estate under new laws in the Australian state of New South Wales has ended rather like Charles Dickens' Bleak House. The late Stephen Chuck's estate was originally valued 2 years ago at about $154,000, but his family of origin spent some $75,000 in legal fees trying to prove he wasn't gay, while his partner of more than 2 years, Tim Devonshire, spent some $50,000 to prove they had indeed had a relationship. The New South Wales Supreme Court found this week that only $32,000 remained in the estate and awarded $10,000 to Devonshire and $22,000 to Chuck's family.
But domestic partners will receive survivor benefits and, in fact, the full range of employee spousal benefits from the World Bank following a vote of its board of directors last week. The move is a triumph for the World Bank's 9-year-old gay, lesbian, or bisexual employees group, GLOBE, which had won some limited partner benefits 4 years ago. Now, all distinctions between same-gender and heterosexual couples have been eliminated, giving them access to survivor benefits, insurance coverage, mobility benefits, and more. The World Bank is a cooperative effort of 182 countries to provide loans to developing nations.
GNL Bank, the Florida-based internet bank founded specifically to serve gays and lesbians, this week announced its plans to liquidate. The bank's voluntary dissolution plan has already been approved by the U.S. Office of Thrift Supervision. There will be no loss to depositors whose funds are federally insured, loans will be purchased by other financial institutions, and shareholders are expected to collect about half their investment. GNL opened on National Coming Out Day in October 1999, and as of a year ago, it claimed $65 million in assets, but it's been operating at a loss of about $280,000 per month since it opened. Founder Stephen Dunlap's lawsuit continues against the bank, which ousted him last year.
Elsewhere in the U.S., a court has decided for the first time in Delaware that a non-biological lesbian co-parent can be sued for child support by her former partner. The 4-year-old boy was conceived by artificial insemination during the women's relationship. For a traditional married couple in that situation, there would be an automatic presumption of legal parenthood for the father, and Family Court Commissioner John Caro found that the co-parent is a second mother in a decision made public this week. The co-parent is appealing his ruling.
But the Alabama State Supreme Court has upheld a notorious ruling granting custody of 3 teenagers to the father who hit them rather than to their lesbian mother. The trial judge, who originally denied the mother's lawsuit for custody, reviled homosexuality and quoted the Bible in his decision. A state appeals court reversed that decision last year, citing the abuse and declaring there was no indication that the mother's current lesbian relationship would be detrimental to the children. But this week, the state's highest court unanimously reinstated the trial court's decision, saying the trial court had been in a better position to evaluate the abuse than the appellate court, which had overstepped its bounds by reconsidering the facts of the case. Chief Justice Roy Moore, nationally famous for his past fight to keep a huge plaque of the Ten Commandments on his courtroom walls, wrote that the common law designates homosexuality as an inherent evil, and if a person openly engages in such a practice, that fact alone would render him or her an unfit parent.
The future of legal recognition of same-gender couples in Britain became murkier this week. Liberal Democrat Lord Hearn withdrew his private members' bill to create registered partnerships for unmarried couples, choosing instead to seek formation of a select committee to review the issue. Reporters believe that he acted in the expectation that the Labour government would be putting its own partnership bill on the agenda for the next legislative session, but a spokesperson for the Cabinet Office quickly responded that the government has no plans to introduce gay marriage. Another private member's bill for registered partnerships by Labour Member of Parliament Jane Griffiths is due for a second reading in the House of Commons in May.
But London Mayor Ken Livingstone sent specially designed Valentines to the city's gay and lesbian bars to promote the city's own purely ceremonial partnerships register. And an online poll by Britain's Rainbow Network to name the nation's most romantic gay and lesbian couple chose singer-songwriter Elton John and David Furnish, and actress Sophie Ward and Rena Brannan.
Congratulations are due some other stars of British drama as well. Open gay Sir Ian McKellen was nominated this week for the Best Supporting Actor Oscar for his role as Gandalf in the film Lord of the Rings. McKellen was a Best Actor Oscar nominee in 1999 for portraying the late gay director James Whale in Gods and Monsters. Other Oscar nominations went to film portrayals of famous bisexuals. Dame Judi Dench was nominated for Best Actress and Kate Winslet for Best Supporting Actress, both for portraying novelist Iris Murdoch in Iris. 8 nominations honored A Beautiful Mind, the biopic of bisexual economist John Forbes Nash, although the film omitted any depiction of his gay side. And at this week's Olivier Awards, Britain's top theater honors, Best Actor went to Roger Allam for his role as a transvestite soldier in the musical play Privates on Parade.
And finally, the approach of Valentine's Day apparently had even Republican U.S. President George Bush in a flirtatious mood, according to openly gay Democratic Congressmember Barney Frank. Frank took his boyfriend to a recent event, and as he tells it, when Sergio and I went to the White House, Sergio said to the president, "Señor Presidente," and Bush said to Sergio in Spanish, "You know, I can speak to you in Spanish, and he can't, can he?"
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 16th, 2002. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Christopher Gall.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
I'm Dibbidee, an actor's life for me.
Every actor worth his salt strives to be honest and true in his portrayals on the stage or screen. Hello, this is Ian McKellen, and that's exactly what This Way Out does as well. Join Greg and Lucia each week for This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine right here on this station.
It almost goes without saying that one of the world's biggest parties is Sydney, Australia's Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade. For over 20 years, hundreds of thousands of participants and spectators have turned out for the culminating event of the Mardi Gras Festival, many of them dressed in costumes that would turn the best designers lavender with envy. This year's three-week festival encompasses more than 100 events, spanning theater, film, music, visual arts, literature, and community, with new events scheduled specifically for queer youth. The 24th annual Mardi Gras was officially launched on February 8th with a celebration in front of the famed Sydney Opera House. Iffy weather kept the crowd smaller than usual, but the estimated 20,000 who did attend retreated to a dramatic demonstration of celestial support as lightning flashed behind the stage all evening. This Way Out correspondent Michael Schembri was on the scene and provides highlights from the two-hour event featuring MCs drag artist Vanessa Wagner and lesbian MC Izzy, Gretel Colleen, host of Australia's version of TV's Big Brother, Canadian Olympic swimming champ Mark Tewksbury, and Nan McGregor, the mother of a gay man and a member of both PFLAG, Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, and the global Rainbow Sash movement.
Happy Mardi Gras!
Hello!
Let's get this party started right. I think we need for everyone to give us a return happy Mardi Gras on the count of three. One, two, three!
Happy Mardi Gras!
My name's MC Izzy, and I'm just that tired old slag you all know about. MC Vanessa Wagner.
Before we go any further, I'd just like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land here today. I worked on the draft document for reconciliation last year or the year before, I can't remember. And it's important that whenever anybody does public speaking, that we acknowledge the traditional owners of the land. And we've got four tribes that represent the Sydney region. We have the Gadigal, the Wangal, the Bidjadal, the Gamarajal, and the Eora people. So thanks for having us here.
Welcome to the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras 2002 Festival Launch. Here we are again. Welcome to Gretel Colleen.
Thank you so much for inviting me here to what, as a heterosexual, is of course the most depressing night of the year. I'm, of course, happy in a sort of maternal and yet bitter way. To be looking down and seeing the cohesive society that is the Gay and Lesbian Society and Community of Australia. And I'll think of your happy faces, your camaraderie, your laughter, even your fashion sense. As I go home, sit alone by the phone, wait for some dysfunctional heterosexual bloke to ring. He'll ring, of course, but it won't be when he said it was going to be. Possibly a year or two later when he's broken up with his chick. He'll grunt a little. burp the alphabet while playing with his senior. And you know what my mother will say? Well, at least he's paying you some attention, Dad. But what I'll be doing when I get home tonight is dreaming of our next guest. He is the perfect man. He's the perfect man for me. I've been trying to sell myself out in the tent quite cheaply. Don't tell my agent. He's the perfect man. He's everything I want. But tragically for me, he is, of course, this is Sydney, this is Mardi Gras. He's gay. I'll stop rubbing it in. No, it's funny for a moment and then it's not funny. No, you've got friends, you've got parties, you've got places to go, and heterosexual people have marriage, divorce and renovation. Actually, the renovations usually become between the marriage and the divorce, I forgot. But let me introduce our next guest. It is Mark Tewksbury. Yes. He has achieved, yes, 7 world records in a swimming pool. Woo! He has won gold, silver and bronze in the Olympics. Woo! Appeared on the cover of Time magazine, looking fabulous. And he has been inducted into the International Swimming Hall of Fame. Me too. In 1999, Mark made an extraordinary move where he left the Olympic organisation that he'd been a part of for 22 years because of the Salt Lake City scandal. And he set up his own organisation, or did it with some other people, but he's the chair of it, and it's called Oath. It's an international non-profit organisation, and it's devoted to upholding integrity in and through sport. So here he is to answer the question, do you have a brother? Will you please welcome to the stage, all the way from Canada, the extraordinary Mark Tewksbury.
Thank you. Hello. Thank you. Another big screaming queen on top of it! Sports saved my life. That's the irony. You know, big Nelly Queen, sports saves his life. It was a nightmare on one hand, but it really did save my life, which is why I'm so excited about Gay Games 2002 coming later this year to Sydney. But this, you know, it gave me an outlet. It gave me something positive, where at school I was the fag and the gay boy and the Nelly. At swimming I was good. So even though I was still a fag and a gay boy and a Nelly, everyone kind of wanted to be good like me, so they didn't discriminate against me, and I had my way. There were some awkward moments. I remember the Australian swim team, man, they were so sexy. And I said, they were, you guys, those green bathing suits you can see through, too. Anyway. But there was this guy, and he kept, you know, all weekend, he was hanging around me, and he kept saying, hey, mate, and mate, and mate. And on the last night, I got drunk, and all I heard was, mate, mate, mate. And I jumped him. He didn't have me, but anyway, it was. When I was 23, I opened up for the very first time in my life to somebody that was part of my sport world in a leadership position. I used to watch the synchronized swimmers every day thinking, man, they've got it good, you know, music, costumes, jewelry, all that excitement. I'm just a swimmer, this sucks. But I remember watching the synchronized swimming team, and I ended up working with their coach. And she's the very first person in my world that I told that I was gay. And when I said the words the first time, I said it so softly she couldn't hear me. I had to say it 3 times. And I was saying it so softly because I was terrified of the rejection. I was terrified of what she might say. She didn't reject me. She totally accepted me. And that was the first time in my life, I think, I felt like a completely whole person. When I got to the Olympic Games, I made it through the preliminary events in the morning. I was about a second and a half behind the American who was favored to win this event. But this miracle happened before the race. About 30 minutes before you compete at the Olympics, you go to this little room called the Ready Room. And there's like 4 walls, 8 chairs, and you sit there for 30 minutes with your competitors. And it's totally intense. And usually in this room, it's where you think of all the things that maybe you should have done that you didn't do. And I sat there and I looked at these seven guys and I thought to myself, what makes me different from these guys? And it was the fact that I was gay. And I thought to myself, you know, these people have no idea the kind of inner strength that I have to get through the shit that I've been given in my life. And I tell you, gay power, honey. I went out there and swam my little head off and won the race. Woo! I had this plan. After the Olympics, I was going to finally live my life openly. And it was going to start by telling my parents and then telling other people as I felt it was appropriate. I remember driving over to my parents' house and sitting them down and saying the words, I'm gay, and watching them almost go through the air and kind of hit my parents' faces. And my dad started to cry, and my mom turned to me and said, how can you people look yourselves in the mirror? And I thought, Jesus Christ, I've become you people to my own mother. Plan to come out? Abort plan, abort plan. I listened to everybody around me who gave me the worst advice in the world. The agents who said, don't come out, it's the worst thing you could do for your career. The parents that wouldn't support, the boyfriend that dumped me, the and I closed down. I didn't speak. And when I didn't speak about it, a part of me died. How did I start to live again? I chose to go to the furthest place in the world away from Canada to find my spirit. And I came here to Sydney, Australia in 1994.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, please give a warm Mardi Gras welcome to Nan McGregor.
Good evening. When I was first contacted about participation in tonight's event, I honestly believed that I was the victim of an elaborate hoax. I kept asking myself, why me? But as I came to realise and to think about it, the realisation dawned on me that I belong to a very elite group of people, in that I am the mother of a gay son. In June 1998, which was, for the liturgically minded among you, Pentecost Sunday, we put on these rainbow sashes, announced ourselves to be gay for the day, and in a sign of solidarity with our gay and lesbian Catholic friends who were in the congregation. And we presented ourselves to communion to Archbishop Pell. It was one of the scariest things that's ever happened to me in my life. I stood there in front of him and he glowered down at me and he said to me,
take off the sash and you can have communion.
Now, if I had removed that sash, it would be an act of complete hypocrisy. It would have been a repudiation of my son and my friends, and I was not going to be part of that. I was, in effect, being asked to choose the church of my birth, and which had been a very significant part of my life, and my gay child, and I would always choose my child. The church as mother was part of my religious understanding from the time I was a little kid. What mother worthy of the name would exclude any of her children, would push the different ones to the margin, and would bar the door against them. Without a doubt, this has been the most painful episode in my life, but I learned a very, very valuable lesson. I know just what discrimination is all about, and believe me, standing there in protest in that vast cathedral, standing silently, braving the scorn of the majority of the congregation, while that ecclesiastical bully denounced us from the pulpit to the cheers and a standing ovation from the congregation. In subsequent Rainbow Sash demonstrations, I've tried to rationalise with myself why I need not go. But I have to go. I have to stand up for what I believe is right. And painful as it is, I will always be there, even though there are lots of places I would rather be.
I'm now going to simply introduce Angela Tui, a Mel Award winner and star of The Boy from Oz and Cabaret, and sensational flutist Jane Rutter.
Forget your troubles. Come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah and just get happy. Get ready for the judgment.
Michael Schembri produced these highlights from the February 8th launch of the 2002 Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Christopher Gall, Graham Underhill, Brian Nunes, Jason Lynn, Chris Ambage, Rex Walkner, and Michael Schembri contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. Just point your browser to www.planetout.com and click first on Multimedia, then on Radio. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners around the world. To learn how you can help keep This Way Out on the air, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KOOP Austin, Texas, 7THE Hobart, Tasmania, WRPI Troy, New York, and more than 125 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Happy Mardi Gras! Stay tuned.